Thanks for downloading the South Everett Foursquare podcast. This is Pastor Chris Pepler, and you've joined us for our Life with Jesus series. This weekend, Robin Suh invites us to explore Jesus' proclamation that he is the Lord of the Sabbath and helps us understand what it means to take a real rest. You can find us every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at the Village on Casino Road, or visit us at our website, southeverett.org. Thanks again for downloading, and enjoy today's podcast.
Come to you today as we are. Lord, thank you that we don't have to have it all together to show up and be in community together, that sometimes it's okay if we're having a great day and our circumstances are going precisely the way we would want them to, and it's really great that, and it's even better that we can show up on the days where they're not and we're not sure, but we are sure of this, that you love us and that your goodness and mercy follows us and that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And though we walk through a valley, the shadow of death, we fear no evil because you are with us. You're with us here. You inhabit the praises of your people. And we thank you for this morning. Lord, your spirit is already at work. Father, would you give us courage to hold up before you the things that are keeping us from stopping in your presence, Lord, as Robin comes to share the word this morning. God, we know that it is living and active. Lord, we know that she has wrestled with you in preparation to share today. Lord, would you speak to her, speak through her, and Lord, would you touch our lives, God, by the power of your Spirit, that we would leave more comforted, more firmly standing on the truth of your word, and more deeply connected in relationship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you welcome Robin?
All right. We're reading from Matthew chapter 11 and 2:12. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields and the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. Then the Pharisees saw this, and they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, and yet are innocent because they're working? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from there, that place, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to them, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out, and they plotted how they might kill Jesus. Sabbath. I don't think we talk much about that in our world these days, or even in churches. So I wonder what thoughts or images come to mind when you think or hear the word Sabbath. What does Sabbath mean to you? Why did God command it? For me, it's been a word that I've been struggling with and wrestling, and I hope in sharing today that we can wrestle together and come to some understanding of, one, what is the Sabbath? What was its original purpose? And two, why did Jesus conflict with the Pharisees over it so much? And three, how do we receive the gift of the Sabbath? I've had the privilege, as I shared with you, of being very involved in my nieces and nephews' lives, in particular helping to raise my youngest nephew and niece. I learned a lot, things I would never have learned without having had that privilege. I learned a lot about parental love. In particular, I learned a lot about God's love. I'm sure you've seen parents and toddlers in playgrounds or in homes, and the kids are so wound up. Their minds and little bodies are going crazy, crazy to exhaustion, but they keep saying, "I'm not tired." But then you see parents who just have this amazing superpower to know what that child needs. They step in and they stop the child. Sometimes they hold the child, and sometimes they force them to take a nap. But when you're in tune with your child and you know what, they're going to have a meltdown, and it's going to be bad. I remember those moments. I had to do what I had to do because I knew what was best for my nephew or my niece, even if they didn't know what was best for them. I think that's what the Sabbath is. That's the picture of the Sabbath. The Hebrew word for Sabbath literally means stop, cease. God gave the command to cease as part of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the foreigners within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, Sabbath day, and made it holy. So why this conflict between the Pharisees and the Jews? If the Sabbath means just to stop, to cease from your work, they both believe that. So why this hostility? The Pharisees were self-appointed leaders. They really didn't have political power or religious power. But there were people who were fearful that after 300 years of exile and being occupied by foreign nations, that the Jews were losing their identity. The word Pharisee describes them and their stance pretty well because it just meant separated ones. They wanted to make sure that Jews were separated from other nations and their influences and maintain their distinctiveness as Jewish people and being the people of the law. So they studied the law and they felt they could interpret it best to help the Jewish people. They were telling the people that if you strictly follow the Ten Commandments, then you can be God's people. And to help the Jews do that, they came up with a lot of concrete rules and regulations on top of the Ten Commandments. They really believed that one of the main reasons that they were forced into exile was because they weren't Sabbath keepers. So they focused a lot on that one Sabbath commandment, and they added 1,521 additional rules on top of what not to do as work. It was pretty overwhelming. One extreme Sabbath keepers were the Essenes. They actually had a rule that you couldn't use the equipment to bring water to your mouth. That was considered work. They were so fixated on what was work and what not to do that their eyes were on themselves and what they would not do because it was considered work, rather than having their eyes on God. So Jesus said, you're putting heavy burdens on these people and not even lifting a finger to help them. These people are trying so hard to get to me, please God, but all these rules and regulations that the Pharisees added were making people feel like they were moving in quicksand with heavy loads of weight on them put on by these rules. So what's the conflict about? Pharisees were representing God as all about the rules. And Jesus saying God cares about people and wanting a relationship with his people. That is why he gave the laws and instructions to help them. Those laws and instructions, all the Bible, is all down to two commandments. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. How we can do that well. The Bible didn't have verses and chapters for over 1,000 years until more recently. So you can't really understand the passages we read at the beginning unless you understand the previous passages, because it's building themes and ideas. That is why it's so important to read and present the gospel passages in order. So the section before the Sabbath confrontations has Jesus saying basically, before he even had this conflict with the Pharisees, he was saying, I'm the best image of God. I'm the best interpreter, and I'm the best representative of God when he said, I'm the Son of Man. Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. He said, the Father sent me to do and say many things he wants to be known. And he's saying, I really know the Father well, and the Father really knows me well, so I have authority to speak for him, and I'm really willing to tell you detail by detail of who the Father is and what he's like. So let me tell you, if you're tired and worn out, you can come to me and you can recover your life, and I'll show you how to get real rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. There are several passages in the Old Testament as well as the New that refers to God's law, his instructions, as a yoke. That is meant to be a blessing to those who are keeping them, because when you keep God's instructions, your life will prosper. Another layer of that yoke is that they call teachers of the law, and their interpretation of the law is another form of yoke. So when Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, he's saying my interpretation of the Torah is easy and it's light. It's not going to weigh down heavy on you. The third layer is that Jesus is carrying the yoke. When you look at the ark with the oxen, with the yoke, that wood between them that holds them together, they use to pull equipment, to plow, they have to walk in sync. Farmers yoke two oxen together. The yoke has to be well fitted to both of them. But as you look at the ark, one ox is larger than the other. Farmers always teamed an older, bigger, mature ox with a younger one. The older one, who knows the work well, leads the young one. The bigger ox carries most of the load. The smaller one has just to learn to walk in sync alongside the bigger one and not fight him. Then the work gets done well. Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy because I carry it for you. I do most of the work, so come and rest. Right after he says, come to me and I'll give you rest, he shows what that rest means by going directly into two action stories of what the Sabbath confrontation is all about. The Pharisees were very fixated on the Sabbath and they were stalking him to see if he would break it. His disciples plucked and ate some grain while walking. Plucking was considered work and therefore Sabbath breaking. But Jesus and his disciples did not break the Sabbath. They always kept the Sabbath. Jesus was the Sabbath keeper. But his disciples did break one rule, plucking the grain on the Sabbath. Jesus interprets Sabbath as a gift to the people from God. Sabbath is a gift to us. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells the Pharisees that the Sabbath was made for people to be a blessing, and not the people to make Sabbath an idol or the focus of their life. He simplified the Sabbath and brought it back to the original intention. Sabbath is a gift for his people. Writer Lewis Hyde, in his book, The Gift, wrote, it is a cardinal difference between gift and commodity exchange that a gift establishes a feeling bond between two people, while the sale of a commodity leaves no necessary connection. Each time a gift is well given and well received, something happens. It forms a bond. And the more it happens, the gift develops and strengthens a relationship. Sabbath is a gift from God to us. It opens our hearts to the giver. We feel cared for and receive the freedom that he desires to give to us. Sabbath matures and strengthens our relationship with God. That's why we see Jesus making somebody physically whole and letting his disciples eat. It's all about good relationships. The focus is not on not working, but keep it holy. Holy means simply set apart by God for God. This Sabbath issue was so important for both Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus staked his life to tell us that the Sabbath is God's gift to humanity and not a burden, not another thing that we have to do, but a gift that we get to do. There's a difference. Have to and get to. It's how we perceive it. If we get to, it's something we enjoy and it's a gift that we receive. Stop. Cease and receive the gift of Sabbath rest. God made this world and he put into the very fabric of this world this rhythms. There's a rhythm of night and day. There's a rhythm of seasons. There's a rhythm to our lives and our bodies. Just like we need to sleep, and you know that if you keep somebody up, they fall apart. I read that when prisoners of war were captured, they used a torture method of not letting them sleep. People who don't sleep go crazy and they die. And our bodies are made to sleep 1/3 of our 24 hours. God also put into creation a rhythm of 6 plus 1. We're created to work 6 days and rest 1 day. When we go against this rhythm, we go against the way he made us. We need to rest. We need to be refreshed, but not just physically. We need mental, emotional, spiritual rest as well. Because we live in a culture that values busyness. These days when people ask, how are you? People used to say, fine, how are you? But now people say, I'm so busy. This is a form of legitimizing yourself. Because we live in a society that expects us to be busy. We function best when we're refreshed. But these days we have this inner critic, somebody wrote, that is called the eternal inner murmur of self-reproach that tells us to do more, finish more, be busy, be entertained more, produce more. In his lecture, Eugene Peterson shared a story from Herman Melville's Moby Dick that helped me when I feel that pull to be productive and feel the accusation I didn't do enough. In the section of the novel, Captain Ahab finally found the whale who bit off his leg. And he's so close to being able to kill the whale. There's this huge chase. Everyone's at their station. There's yelling and there's cursing with every muscle strained. Everyone is busy with frenzied activity. But in this boat, there's one man who does nothing. He doesn't hold an oar. He doesn't perspire. He doesn't shout. He's languid in the crash and the cursing. This man is the harpooner, quiet, poised, and waiting. Because to ensure the greatest efficiency in the dart, the harpooners of this world must start to their feet out of idleness and not out of toil. I know this to be true. What appears to be idleness can be preparation. I remember sharing with a friend all my prayer needs, my concerns and anxieties for my family. And once she said to me, the best and the most you can do for your family, Robin, is to be relaxed and focus on what God is doing and what God is saying. I think she was right. Rather than be active and trying to find a solution and worry pray, I needed to be still and sink myself into God. I think the key difference between having a day off, we think of Sabbath as a day off, and receiving the gift of the Sabbath. That's the difference. When we call it a day off, the focus is still on work. But when we use the word Sabbath, it makes God and worship the most important thing. It's great to take the day off and be refreshed, but even not doing anything doesn't really refresh us. Because sometimes we're filling ourselves with distractions, with things on our phones, watching TV or sports. That's very different from receiving the Sabbath, the gift of the Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift of the Lord that he has prepared to give to us. To receive a gift, you have to have a receptive posture towards God. We enter Sabbath with open arms, like a water pitcher, waiting to be filled. The Sabbath is very hard to receive. I've been struggling for a long time. It's very hard to counter our culture and my need for being efficient and being in charge, being useful. It's so strong, it's really hard to stop. When we stop, it's like driving a car. When you suddenly stop at a stop sign, what happens is all the things in the back of the car comes forward, like your water bottles and the trash that you have laying there. The unnoticed baggage that we collect and pile up in our lives. So when you stop, things rise. Things that you were kind of running away from, consciously or subconsciously. Things that you put on the back burner, or what you don't want to deal with, what you don't want to look at, like certain hopes, like fears, like conflicts, like pain. That's probably one of the reasons that we don't really want to stop fully. We don't want a Sabbath. We don't want to see ourselves. But when you stop and are still, we let things rise to the surface, and we're able to see what's really there. That's what happens when we receive the Sabbath. We become aware of things we carry. And I think one of the things a lot of people carry is guilt. I know personally I was experiencing a little of that this past Sunday. I was complaining to my sister about somebody before we went to church. Don't worry, it's not anyone here. I couldn't focus during the first few songs because I kept beating myself up. I was praying to forgive the person and to forgive myself, but it was really hard until God said to me, "Let it go." Another thing that happens when we receive the Sabbath is that we realize we're not in control. We see that God has everything in his hands and the world does not fall apart just because we didn't take care of that during that day. I think we learn to relax and we learn to play. Sabbath reorients us and we become aware that we are safe in a good God's care. So we can, as 1 Peter 5 says, live carefree before God. He is most careful for you. And as Mike Dennis said, Sabbath frees us to be human beings, not human doings. I read a young adult novel by Madeleine Langer called The Wind in the Door, and it's a sequel to her famous book, The Wrinkle in Time. It's a space sci-fi book, and it has an image in there that was really powerful for me. There was this little creature that kept spinning and spinning and spinning around, nonstop in a frenzy. He looked fine, he thinks he's fine, he's having fun. He calls others to spin in a chaotic frenzy dance with him. The chaotic dance was affecting all the things around it. All the atmosphere was being destroyed. Even these magnificent, life-giving, and mature creatures were dying because of that frenzied environment. The little creatures refused to stop and root and deepen. He was destroying the whole environment and other creatures because we're all connected. One person's frenzy affects other people. So like Psalm 47 says, we need to listen to God say, be still and know that I am God. When we stop and deepen and enter into the rhythm of 7, 6 plus 1 of Sabbath rest, we redirect our focus onto our Maker and Redeemer, and we can root ourselves deeper into his love. Sabbath is a whole day because it takes time to cultivate a relationship. It takes time to get to the deeper things like our desires. Sometimes it takes 3 to 4 hours of prayer to really hear the voice of God. I know it does for me. It was only after 2 to 3 hours of sitting before him that some memories of my pride and my criticalness gently came to the surface. It had to come after being soaked in his love and feeling secure that he could tell me things I need to work on. Only then can the cleansing and the maturing and the deepening in relationship happens. It takes time. We can't rush relationships. Sabbath starts at sundown. What's interesting is when you look at the book of Genesis, it always starts the days off. It was night, and then it was day. Day, the day starts at night. It starts with us going to sleep because God is at work. We're not in control. When we wake up, we enter into what he's already doing. God works day and night. He isn't tired. Our work is only part of what God is doing. We get to participate, but we're not the main worker. Eugene Peterson wrote, Sabbath is not a day to get anything done. It's a day to watch and be responsive to what God is doing. We wake and we receive the Sabbath so that we can be attentive to God and his work. And our 1 or 2 hours of worship is not enough Sabbath. Receiving the Sabbath helps us become more aware of God's creative work in our lives, in our families, in our communities. On Sabbath, we're also reminded that Jesus worked. We see that when you look at him on the cross, he was working, he was toiling, he was writhing, he was calling out, he was restless. He was working for us. Tim Keller shared that Jesus was restless like this because he was fulfilling Isaiah 57, verse 10 that says, "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest. There is no peace for the wicked." So on the cross, Jesus took our place. He became wicked for us. He became sin who knew no sin. There was this heavy cosmic restlessness that was put on him. He carried our sins, and he experienced that infinite restlessness. When Jesus was on the cross and said, "It is finished," that meant everything that was necessary for our salvation was done. Because we received Jesus as our Savior, he says, "It's finished. I've completed the work so that you can rest. You don't need to work for my approval. We can let go of our guilt. We can let go of trying to measure up. We can let go of needing significance because he did it all. Because of his work, we get acceptance from God. We get the approval. He is that strong ox that we are now yoked with. When God sees us, he sees us through Jesus and his work, so that we can have rest. Rest is not just physical rest. It says, after God created the world, he rested. Is God tired? No, God doesn't get tired. It doesn't mean God is inactive. So what does rest, the word rest, mean when he says, "I give you rest"? After 6 days, he rested and blessed the seventh day and made it holy. This is the first time the word holy appears in the Bible. The day is blessed, sanctified, and separated. It's a special day. When God said he rested, it means he looked at all the things, all the work he has done, and he says, "I am fully satisfied." That's what the word rest means. When God looks at you, he looks at you through the eyes of Jesus' work and sacrifice, and he is utterly satisfied in Jesus' work. Last year, my siblings and I were renovating my brother's condo. Can I just tell you, it was a mess. It was overwhelmingly a disaster. After months of cleaning, fixing, and painting, we ran around to thrift stores to decorate it for the photos. That night before the photographer came, we were still moving rugs, and even after midnight, we were still at it. But boy, can I tell you, there was a transformation. It was so beautiful that people couldn't recognize it, that it was the same place. My family and I, we got to work with God. And it really blessed my brother. I have to say, it was really hard work, physically and emotionally draining. But when I look at those photos, I experience utter satisfaction. I enter rest. I experience delight. I think that's what it meant when God looks at creation and redemption. And when God looks at you, he sees that work that Jesus did, and he is utterly satisfied. He delights in us.
Even in my sinful state?
Yes, amen. He doesn't see the sin. He sees Jesus' work. I'm sure God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when they were working together in creation, they were high-fiving one another, saying, "Good job, good job, good job." And I'm sure when Jesus worked with God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, when he died on the cross in his work, they were all saying, "Good job, good job, good job." When he saw the wonderful work that Jesus did for us, I'm sure the Trinity is rejoicing. Each time one of us came into his kingdom, the Trinity was high-fiving each other, saying, "Good job." I think we experience as a family, working hard together in unity as a community. There's something about working together in community. Jesus said, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." Like that image of the ox, Jesus wants to work with us. We get to work with him It's not we have to work with him. We get to work with him. We get to partner and be his partner in the yoke.
Yes.
We get to work with him, but we don't need to be afraid because he will carry the heavy part. And when we get to the rest and look at our work and what we did together with him for 6 days, because we work together with Jesus 6 days of the week, and we can say at the end, wow, that was really good, Jesus. We did a good job this week for you. We get to enjoy and savor the work and the beauty that we created together with Jesus. We experience that joy of satisfaction. I don't know if you experienced that, but you could savor your work. Like, oh man, that was really good. I still look at the photos and I still grin sometimes with pride and such joy at what was done. That's how God sees and feels when he sees us. Sabbath is a gift from God so that you can thrive. God wants you to thrive. And did you know that there is no time marker for the seventh day? There's no phrase on the seventh day. There's no closure. The day, from day one to day six, there's this phrase. There is night, there is day. But on the seventh day, it just said he rested and blessed it and made it holy. There is no closure. We're still in the Sabbath where God is resting and utterly enjoying his creation and his redemptive work. We were originally created for a forever Sabbath, seventh day. We were created to join God in his rest. That is entering into the day, the joy that God has created for creation, especially the joy God has in creating us in his image. So how do we join him? By receiving the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Marva Dawn, in her book, Keeping the Sabbath Holy, Ceasing, Resting, Embracing, and Feasting, wrote, "A great benefit of Sabbath keeping is that we learn to let God take care of us, not by becoming passive and lazy, but in the freedom of giving up our feeble attempts to be God in our lives. We keep it holy by setting the whole day apart for God, being about whatever helps us enter into God's delight in his creative and redemptive work. Each week, when we receive the gift of the Sabbath, we're actually experiencing a foretaste of the new heaven and the new earth. The more we do it, the more we're prepared and the more comfortable we'll be when we finally enter the new heaven and the new earth. We do this when we look at God and become more God preoccupied, God directed, God delighting on our Sabbath. Cease, rest, embrace, and feast. The first verb is stop. That's what ceasing is, stop. Cease our striving, and also not just striving, but stop numbing yourself out. Discern anything that feels like work to you and stop. I know for me, cooking feels like work, so I stop cooking on my Sabbath. Eugene Peterson, his church helped him keep Sabbath by not calling him. So he had the whole day on Monday because he was a pastor. Some of us have to cease from entertainment and distractions. I'm actually on that now, and I stopped opening my phone apps for Lent. It's pretty boring. I've been looking at the weather app and my calendar a lot. I hope to be able to eventually receive the gift of the Sabbath by turning my phone off for 24 hours. I'm not there yet, but that's my goal. Young people use the internet app called Freedom that blocks the internet for 8 hours. Maybe we should all have that too. The second verb is rest. Rest comes in many different forms because we're so unique. So whatever helps you to be still and turn to God to rest, that's it. Some work in their gardens. I read children's novels. That's my rest. I recently found that the word faith in the Gospel of John means lean into. And I really think that means that we're leaning into God's embrace. I think that's what faith really is. I think God longs to rest us, just like a parent who wants to hold a child to soothe and calm him down. That reassuring embrace telling the child, you're enough, and I delight in you. The third verb is called embrace. I think the most important thing we embrace is we embrace God. We also embrace his word part of the day. That means spending more time, longer than normal, in reading his word. And we spend time in dialogue by prayer with him so we can become better friends with God. I think we also are meant to embrace other people, our families and friends during Sabbath. And the last verb is feast. I think the key to feasting is remembering. And I think that's why the commandment for Sabbath is remember. Remember what he's done in creating and redeeming our lives. Remember his many gifts he gives every day. Remember how he has taken care of us. Remember how much he loves us. We can also feast on nature. People go for walks, enjoy God's creation. Other elements of feasting is community, enjoying friends, enjoying food, enjoying gatherings, enjoying music, enjoying beauty, and enjoying one another. Let's slow down our lives by receiving the gifts of the Sabbath, by consciously preparing for it each week. One last image I'd like to leave with you is from Dallas Willard, who tells a story from some researchers. There were these scientists, they were doing these tests on mice to see how they respond to certain dosages of amphetamine, like speed. They would give small dosages of this to these mice. The mice started hopping around, going crazy. If you gave the dose to one mouse and it was alone, it wouldn't hop around and it would finally recover. But if they gave the dose, same dosage of amphetamines to a whole group of mice, they would hop around and stimulate and egg one another on, and they would die. But what's really shocking here is he said that if you put into that same group of mice that were given the amphetamines, a mouse that did not get the amphetamines, that mouse too would hop around and die because of the frenzy. Will this be our story? Is this the story of our lives? Stop. Cease. Let us receive the gift of the Sabbath. God is still delighting in his creative and redemptive work and is inviting us to that delight, his Sabbath. Lord, thank you for the gift of the Sabbath. Thank you for wanting us to have this special gift. Thank you that you gave your life so that we can have this gift of rest. Lord, we receive the gift of the Sabbath. Pull us out of our preoccupation with ourselves and our feelings, our circumstances, and into a world of wonder and delight in who you are and what you are doing. Please help us to be God-aware.